Praise the Lord for it. Acts 16, we're not going to read the whole passage. We read it all this morning. I want to begin because we really dealt with persecution. We know why they were put in jail. We know why they were beat. We know why they were put in locks. We know why that everyone was stirred up against them. They were doing right. They were preaching the gospel. A young lady got saved. A demon was departed out of her body and therefore cost some people some money and it made them mad. And so we know this seems unfair, but Paul and Silas now find themselves in jail. They find themselves in the inner prison. They've been persecuted. But I want you to notice in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now I want you to notice the clear, glorious, clear, simple answer that was answered, the question that was answered. And the Bible says in verse 31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Aren't you thankful? Salvation is so gloriously simple. It's simply gloriously, right? And thank God that's His plan, not my plan, but I praise God for it tonight. And again, this great one of the greatest salvation experiences that we know is because that these men had been persecuted, and these men in their times of persecution started to praise, they started to pray, they started to thank God for where they were, and God brought this wonderful power down. So let's just continue to look, and it's amazing what praising will do. Heavenly Father, I pray again as we close tonight this message, I pray you'll help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just spend a few more moments on, in this dark day, in this storm, in this bad, perilous, damp, dark dungeon that these men found themselves in, I want to just hone in again on just quickly that they had a song and they started to sing. And I want to just bring out a little bit more about that because I think it's very important that we understand the power of singing. Brother Jim Beeler gave me something months ago, and we know Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." And we know that God has such a primacy on singing. When we think about church, we have a primacy on singing. We have special music. We have a congregational. And all of this is things to help induce worship. But I want to ask you a question. How many of us do it once we get outside this building? I think it's very important. Singing and making melody in our hearts should not be confined to this building. I'm going to read some more of the things that Brother Jim gave me here. Wherever and whenever you sing, concentrate on the words. If it helps, close your eyes. Let yourself get so lost in the accompanying melody that you momentarily forget where you are and what others might think of you. Frankly, he said, "I find it impossible to praise the Lord in song at the same time if I feel self-conscious." Now, I want you to think about that. Why do we sometimes not do what we really should do? Because we're embarrassed to do it. But that ought not stop us. We shouldn't be self-conscious about those things. God tells us to make melody in our hearts, singing to ourselves with psalms and hymns, making melody. Why? I believe there's power in that. We find here in the middle of this, they had no business singing songs in the middle of this inner prison. It was very rare. And again, the Bible said the prisoners heard. They took great. None of the others were singing. But these men were different. They took notice that these men were singing in a time that they shouldn't sing. And by the way, Christians, I know sometimes we don't feel like it, but Christians ought to be singing even when we don't feel like it. Make a concentrated effort to add one or two songs to your day. And Remind yourself periodically of the words of a chorus or a hymn. Just like tonight, I'm thankful Brother Don gave. I couldn't think of the whole song. I knew it wasn't long, but I couldn't think of all of the song, the words to that. It's amazing what praising can do, but it went right along with what we talked about today. It is amazing what praising can do. The simple fact is we're just not doing it enough. We're complaining, we're whining. And by the way, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. I get awful good at complaining. And so we need to let God help us to put a song in our heart. Make a concentrated effort to add one or two songs to your day. Remind yourself periodically of the words of a chorus or a hymn that you love and add them maybe to your driving schedule. Maybe when you're at home. Maybe when you're doing something else. Sing often with a friend or family members. Now, I know this is embarrassing to many. Shouldn't be. Our family, I can't sing. Kaylee, Laura, and Clay, they can sing. And so I just let them, I sing. And look, I don't care if I sound good or not. It's not about sounding good. It's about making melody in your heart. It's about singing to the Lord. It's about overcoming some things. Say, well, that family's crazy. Well, call us crazy. Sing often with a friend or members of your family. Here's why. It helps melt down all sorts of invisible barriers. Singing before a grace at mealtime in the evening or just having, and by the way, now, I mean, we don't even have to sing. We can just, look, I can type in right here on YouTube. I can type in, He knows my name, and I can listen to it quickly, very quickly. I can put on a list, a mix of songs. And by the way, Kaylee don't like my mix. A lot of it's bluegrass. But I like that bluegrass gospel, amen. And you might like something else, but play it where it encourages. Why? Because you're wanting to sing about the Lord and you're being reminded of His goodness. Becomes addictive. Look, blow off the dust now. I thought of Robert today because Brother Robert now, if you know Brother Robert, he's got to work tonight, but Brother Robert has an old-fashioned turntable. He's got a record player. I bet you that man's got millions of 45s and records. But I'm going to tell y'all something. I'll guarantee you his neighborhood knows when he's home. He's got a jacked up system there. I mean, it's like, you know, like I would have had in the 80s with the woofers and everything. I mean, he can play that gospel music. And I'm like, Brother Robert, don't you think we better turn that down? Your neighbors will go here. He plays it. And if you know, every once in a while, even on Facebook, he'll put up a good song and just put something up, put a little testimony about it. Listen, music and singing is powerful. It's better than complaining. So put some beautiful music on in your home. Put it on. The Christmas season is here. Put a good playlist of just good Christmas music. And again, we were out here, Miss Kyla got to witness it the other day. We're putting the Christmas tree up. The family and I, we're putting the Christmas tree up. Kaylee's whining about what kind of music I got playing. Somebody say amen. Nobody liked me saying that, Kaylee. Nobody agreed. Of course, a lot of it. I want to share. I have one, it's my favorite Christmas song but they, you know, like even Brother Clay said the other day, he said, well, Dad, I like it too, but after 150,000 times. But I like, it's a group called Found Wondering. Found Wondering. And they do, I think, one of the beautiful renditions of Angels We Have Heard on High. Found Wondering. Y'all need to look it up. Found Wondering, Angels We Have Heard on High. You'll like it. You might listen to it 150,000 times. But look, music is so powerful. And look, never mind how beautiful or pitiful you may sound. Sing loud enough to drown out those defeating thoughts that's normally clamoring for your attention. Release yourself from the cage of introspective reluctance and just sing out. You're not auditioning for the choir. You're just simply making melody in your heart. And so I want to encourage you. They had a song. We ought to start singing. And so we've talked about that this morning. And then I want to just share this with you. Years ago, I guess it would have been 96. It was my first year at Bible college. there was a young man that had surrendered his life to go to the mission field. His name was Troy Holmes. Young man, excited about the Lord. He was dating a young lady there, and he surrendered his life to go to the mission field. Well, there was a horrible accident. He was underneath a house. They had jacked that he was working after school with a contractor in the church trying to make money to pay his school bill, and they had jacked the porch up on the house, and the jack had come out and fell on this young man and killed him instantly while school was in. I'll never forget it. Hundreds of students was there. It broke the school. I'll never forget that night, that service where they had a memorial service for him. He ran a bus route, and all those children that was on his bus route was there that night. Many of his friends got up and gave tests. I mean, it was one of the most powerful services I've ever been in. I've never been in a service where I've seen more people, young people, come forward and surrender their life to the Lord's work for the death of this young man. But the next day was a Monday, and I'll never forget, we had chapel. Everybody was hurting. I didn't know the young man. I knew of him. I didn't know him very well. But I'll never forget it. Chapel time came. It was the weirdest thing. We go into that big auditorium, and Dr. Sexton gets up and just gives a few remarks, and he says, listen, he said, I'm not going to speak today. He said, we're all just going to sit out here. And he said, I just feel like listening to music today. He said, we're all hurting. We need help. And so Brother Don and I were talking about just before church is what brought it up to my mind, but he sat down on the platform, and the people on the sound, you know what they played? They played Lester Roloff's whole tape, the whole tape of Singing from the Heart. And I remember everybody in that college, that there was hundreds, 600, 700, 800 young people in that auditorium that day. And we sat there for 45 minutes and only listened to music. Music is a powerful thing. And God said that in the middle of the night, in the darkest of their trials, the Bible said they started to sing praises to God. And so I want to say to you tonight, we need to be singing Christians, amen? So I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Now look, why? Because we know that God is a good God and He makes no mistakes. And many times we think He does, but He doesn't. He's good. And then we also realize that all things work together for good. Doesn't mean that all things are good. All things are not always good. There's things going on in every one of our lives tonight. It's not good. You hear me? It's not good. You can't tell me someone getting a phone call and being diagnosed with cancer is good. It's not good. That's not what God says. He doesn't say, well, if you love me, nothing else will go bad happen to you. No, it's not what He says. He said where all things will work together for good. In other words, He can make good, bad things be good for His glory and for our good. And so we have to sing because we know the promises of God. And then we have to sing because we know His grace will always be sufficient. It will be sufficient. By the way, I believe a lot of our Christian life is operating simply on grace. The only thing that gets us up in the mornings and gets us to function is the grace of God. His grace is sufficient. So we see the persecution, we see the praise. But as I close tonight, I want you to just notice the power. Look at verse 26. The Bible said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Now that's great power. Shook the whole place. God heard their singing. God heard their praises. God heard their prayers. And He shook the place. Now I don't know about y'all, but we need this place shook. This place needs shook. This valley needs shook. Our church needs a move of God. The folks in this church that are God's people need to get shook up for God. We need a movement of God like we've not seen in years. We are in desperate days, church. The Christian is becoming nominal. And the godless is getting so loud and the Christian is getting so quiet. And we are just kind of blending in with the world, and we're not having an effect. We need to be shook up. And we need to get excited about the things of God again. We need to put everything else that's going to deter us from the love of God and the work of God out of our lives. It robs us from the greatest of blessings. And so we need shook up, and they heard. God heard the singing. He heard their prayers, and He shook with a great earthquake. And by the way, the Bible said the jailers were afraid. They were so afraid that, look, they were going to kill themselves. He was going to take his own life because he knew what it meant if everyone escaped. Here's the amazing thing, and this is the application that I want to just bring. I want to focus in on this jailer just a minute. I believe this jailer, for some reason, obviously, he was a hard man, tough man. I'm going to say this, he had enough boldness, he'd go kill himself. Because he realized that he had failed at his task. He felt like he had failed at his task. He didn't get his job done because he felt like, look, something here has happened. It's been out of my control, but I've seen this power. Every one of these prisoners are loose. They're going to get up out of here, and I'm going to die anyway. So he thought, instead of going through the shame and the suffering, he said, I'll just take my own life. And thank God Paul knew what he was going to do, and you tell me how, because it was dark there. You tell me how he knew it. And he hollered at this man and said, no, look, nobody's left. We're all here. You know what I picture here with this jailer? I picture a hard man that got awful soft. And here's the thought. Do you know anybody that you think's a hard case? Ain't too hard for God. See, earlier in the message, I preached on Wednesday night on the tender heart with Lydia, and then I didn't preach a message. I just alliterated it. This woman that was filled with a demon, she had a tormented heart. But then I believe this jailer had a toughened heart. He was going to take his own life. He hadn't given a whole lot of thought about a whole lot of things. I run into a lot of people today that have such a toughened heart. It amazes me. Death don't even scare them. Hell don't even scare them. I hear them all the time say, well, I'll tell you right now, when I die, I'm going to split hell wide open, and I'm just going to die and go to hell, and I'm going to have a party there. Look, we know that there's no party in hell, but that's a tough person to be able to say that. And I want you to know something. We sometimes think, well, people like that, well, they are going to split hell wide open. But do you know that the rest of this story tells me that God can take a hard case and make them a soft case? Do y'all know of anybody that just has a tough heart and maybe someone that's having a rough time or, they'll never have anything to do with God? Well, I think we need to change our thought process on that a little bit. Even today, the hard cases get serious when they find themselves on their back. Now, here's the application. The power came when this man got to a place where he was at wit's end. Now, listen, here's where I want to encourage our church. There's going to be a lot of people make fun of you for being a Christian. There's going to be a lot of people that's going to make fun of you for coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. A lot of these children that go to church, school, they're going to be made fun of because they're going to be told, oh, it's not big deal. Because we live in a day now where it's okay if you don't go to church. You can still be a Christian, you don't have to go to church. But I'm sorry, I believe church is important today as it was 2,000 years ago. They assembled, and I'm going to say this, I believe in Bible days they assemble more than twice a week. I'm thankful we have a building to meet at, but we as a church family should be meeting in places all during the week with our Christian friends and family and representing the Lord. But I say, I know we're going to get made fun of. I know a lot of times people act tough around us and they think we're weirdos and you're going to church. But I'm going to tell you something. When they get a phone call late at night or when they have something strike them that breaks their heart, do you know the first people they call? You got it. I've used this illustration many, many times, but, and Mike knows this. We had a man in our family, Sonny, our cousin Sonny. Sonny never talked about the Lord. He never talked about the Lord. All he ever talked about was hunting. I mean, he loved to hunt, big hunter. And, but he got diagnosed with cancer. And he was getting down near the end of his life, and for the first time, he was open to listen. Brother Mike was able to go up there to his house and lead him to the Lord. And as awful as he felt, and as sick as he was, he even got baptized afterwards. Of course, he didn't have to get baptized to get saved, but he wanted to follow the Lord in baptism. And I thought, what brought Sonny to a place that he actually would be receptive to the gospel? He had to get in a bad place. He was a hard case. You never could talk to him about the Lord. Never had any interest in it. My grandpa was the same way. He never had any interest in the Lord. Never. He wanted to argue about it. He wanted to say, well, I just don't understand why God went into that. I mean, he always had questions about the Bible, but it never was personal to him until he got scared. He had a stroke. Now, I want to ask you tonight, who do you have in your mind that you think, oh, my, it's going to take something like that? Well, listen to me. The power can come. God can send the earthquake. God can bring this jailer got to a place where he thought he had everything under control. He was a hard, toughened heart. But when this earthquake came, I'm going to tell you right now, he got on his knees. So I say the hard cases, they get serious when they're flat on their back. And then here's what they do. They look up. We need to be there. The jailer then, of course, followed the Lord in baptism. He told his household about it. They got saved. Here's how I want to end. There's nobody too hard that God can't soften up. There was a soldier on a battlefield. He laid dying. A chaplain knelt beside him, told him he wouldn't make it. He asked if he could do anything for him. The young man had led a wicked life and had hurt a lot of people deeply. He looked up at this chaplain. He said, "Sir, there's nothing anybody can do for me right now. What I need is somebody who can undo some things for me." Well, can I say to you, Jesus can undo it all. That's what people need. He is who people need. People always want to talk about their past. They want to talk about, you know, all their skeletons in their closet. And look, everybody's got them. I tend not to want to focus on the past. I want to focus on the future. You know what God can do? He can clean up an old wretched sinner and make him a saint. I don't care what you've done, what you've thought, what you've said, what you've been. Ain't nobody too hard for him. By the way, that hits right at the core of our heart many times because we have people that I honestly sometimes write off and say, been there, done that, they've heard it all, they've seen it all, nothing can happen. But I think we need to do our part. I think we need to understand if persecution comes in our lives, we need to respond properly because God can always bring the power. And maybe just that hard case, maybe that person that you think nothing will ever change, oh yes, God can change them. Now, I don't know about y'all tonight, but I'm dealing with that. I needed this tonight because I'm going to be honest with you, yes, as your pastor, sometimes I think, ain't nothing more can be said to that person. They know it all. They've been told, no, this is who they are. This is what they're doing. You know, I've said that 100 times, but you know what? I'm going to tell you tonight, God has helped me again tonight to realize God is above that. You say, Pastor, you have confidence in people? Look at me. No, I don't. Not everybody. I don't have confidence in people. Being honest. But I'm going to tell you what keeps me going. I have confidence in him. I know what he desires. And so when someone else isn't doing right, I know I can't trust that person, but I can trust the one that loves that person. And see, sometimes here's what we do. We think we love people so much and we know best, but see, here's what we don't ever put into our thoughts. God loves them more than we could ever love them. And God wants more for them than we ever think about wanting for them. And here's the thing. We sometimes think we know what to say and do to get them there. We don't. God does. We need to trust him, church. There ain't nobody too tough for him. How many of y'all thought you was a tough case? Would you raise your hand? How many of you ever thought you'd be in church tonight? How many of you thought, you said, man, you thought maybe years ago, I'd never be one of them churchgoers on a Sunday night. You raise your hand, you ever thought like that? See, God changed you. See, he takes hard cases and makes them soft. Look, many stumble over salvation. You're our friend down the street here. He likes to lecture me all the time on baptism. He loves to do it. I mean, every little chance he gets. I guess I'm going to look forward to seeing him at the parade. He and I always exchange very kind words and gestures, and I always make sure he gets a bag with our track in it. Last year when we drove by there, I just smiled at him. He had 2 of them in his hand. I said, God bless you. But anyway, it's kind of funny. He went to knock on my parents' door. My mom and dad didn't know who he was. She's like, Mark, and she said, I wish I'd have known who he was. I said, well, that's who he was. And then others have told me that he's come to the door and you say, well, I go to Tiptonia Baptist Church. Well, he don't bother you long. He steps on his way. But look, here's how this so simple, and I'm going to close. So simple. Now I want you to notice. Just right here, They asked. Now look, this guy's getting ready to kill himself. This is a serious situation. An earthquake just took place. And he comes and asks these men the most important question that can be asked. What must I do to be saved? Now y'all tell me, is that the most important question you'll ever answer? I mean, that's the most important question is what's going to happen to me when I die? How can I know that I can be saved? It's the most important question. And so do you think that Paul got it right? Or do you think he left something out? Now y'all tell me. Do you think the Word of God left something out important there, that God missed something there? This answer that was so important, the question that was so important, do you think God left something out? Wouldn't you think if that jailer said, what must I do to be saved, that the man, Paul, it would be recorded his word, and he would look at him and say, all right, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get baptized. Y'all tell me. No, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Then, after the result of baptism, or after the result of believing on the Lord and being saved, then what did he do? He went and followed the Lord in baptism. That's so simple. Hey, Mr. Stone, you got that, don't you? What grade you in, son? Fourth grade. Do you understand that? That you get saved when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then out of following the Lord in baptism, just to show that you've been saved, you go and follow the Lord in baptism because it's a picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Do you understand that as a fourth grader? Look at me. Don't ever let anybody else change your mind. That's what the Bible teaches. Simple, isn't it? Clear. Crystal. Clear. So why do we got a bunch of people out here trying to muddy it up? It's crystal. Crystal, y'all with me? Crystal clear. Simple, but simply glorious. That's the power of God in the salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got a question for y'all tonight. How many of you have? Do you know a time and a place that you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you asked Him to save you? And by faith, you trusted Him as your personal Savior. Do you know the day? You know the time. If you know the day and the time, would you stand to your feet? Now, by the way, I want to say this. I know in a group like this, of course, it's on a Sunday night. I was to think that I would be speaking. Maybe you're online tonight. You're listening. You say, Pastor, I just stood up because I didn't want to feel out of place. Well, listen to me, and I want to talk to you just a second. It wouldn't bother me one bit if it, and some aren't able to do that because they're physically not able to do. But I want to say this. You know your heart, but here's the thing. God knows your heart, and here's the most important thing. If you're not saved tonight, I wouldn't get up out of this building. I'd trust the Lord tonight. If I wasn't in right fellowship with Him tonight, I wouldn't leave the building. I'd get it right before I leave the building. If I attend and love this church, I'd come and join the church tonight. I tell you right now, whatever it is that God has spoke to you about, I'd take care of it tonight. But I'm going to tell you why. You might not have the chance tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow.